So our next speaker is Dr. Estelle Chamou.
Just right here. Okay, good evening. Initially, I hadn't planned to have PowerPoint slides, but finally, we had a chat over the lunch, and I figured that it would be interesting that I support what I'm saying with some slides. So, as a biologist, Bill presented me previously, I look a bit like an extraterrestrian, or I don't really, probably I'm a minority by myself here, but in fact, it is because I am the principal investigator of a project that deals with the access to healthcare in the English population of the Eastern Townships, and mostly the outcomes on the physical and mental health of people who speak English. Okay, so how is the access or the lack of access influencing their health? And I will take example, in fact, concrete examples on what I did and the questions I asked during this research and the questions that remain unanswered in order to illustrate the barriers that I have had to overcome to be able to do this study. Okay, so the barriers at several levels. And as Norman instructed us for the roundtable, the purpose is not to come here with already made solutions, but rather to propose maybe solutions or ideas for solutions, and that we have a chat together in order to refine or find better solutions. So, first of all, it was important to very well know our community, because the community of the Eastern Townships has very specific is very specific compared to the community of English-speaking people in Montreal or in other parts of the Quebec province. And the first important specificity is that the population of people who are above 60 years old represents the largest part of the English speakers, okay, and it is quite a lot more than the other people, like the from birth to 64 years old. Also, several specificities in terms of how do people react towards health in general, and how do they feel sharing their resources with their relatives, for example. So a difference that struck me is that the natural caregivers, so relatives or people who are close enough to act as people who give or who help you with your health, is much less, much lower, the ratio is much lower in the Anglophone population compared to the Francophone population. So we count that every person in the Francophone population in the Eastern Townships has about three persons, so it's one for three, or three natural caregivers for one person, I mean, in the Francophone population, while it is about half of this for the English speakers. So it is a difference that is of importance, because we all know that the government policies count a lot on the family and the relatives to take care of people when they're aging. The English population is a population that is aging in the Eastern Townships, and the natural caregivers or the relatives who can help with this aging population are in fact lower proportion compared to the Francophone population. Also, we noticed that it had been noticed in several studies previous to my study, that the patients, when it comes to disease and health, will often use, they will count on the community resources rather than on the health care system. Okay, but in contrast, the French-speaking population will use more of the social services. So it is we have to make a difference between the social services and the healthcare system, and the importance of the community, specifically in the eastern townships. Now, what is also important to notice is that if you compare in this table that comes from Statistics Canada, you will see what is the language spoken by Anglophones when they consult a health professional. And we see that in other regions, compared to the eastern townships, the portrait is a bit different. And if you look at the family doctor, usually they can access and they can speak English with their family doctor pretty easily. Like it's a proportion of 72 for 20% who have to speak French, even if they are anglophone. But when time comes to interact with a nurse or a telephone health line or another kind of specialist, then you see that it's about 50-50. So it means that half of the Anglophone population has to express themselves in French, even if they are Anglophone, because they can't use English, okay? And this is specific to the eastern townships, because if you look at what happens in other parts of the province, it's less striking than this. Okay, the thing is that when people get older, what is interesting as well is that their level of bilingualism reduces. So you see that after 70 years old, it is more difficult for a person who was previously able to talk either English or French to go on being able to express him or herself in both languages. So at the same time, we see that it is, in fact, half of the population has to speak French to be able to access the healthcare system, excluding the family doctors. And at the same time, we see that with the population aging, it is more difficult for them to do so. Okay? And they have less relative to count on, and the population of people above 65 years old in the eastern townships speaking English is more important. So it all contributes to something that I think can influence a lot their level of health and the way they can be effectively treated by the system. So the last snapshot of the situation was in 2007, and people were asked to express themselves about the access and the satisfaction or how good the access was when they had to interact with the healthcare system. And you see that 87% of the people who were asked the question, they mentioned the importance of being able to receive healthcare in English. So this is probably no surprise for you. Now, what were they able to receive actually? So when they went to a private clinic or when they went to see their family doctors, no problem. So far, the 82% of them were able to receive services in English. When they had to go in a CLSC, it's only 68% that were able to talk in English, but a quarter of them had to request being served in English. When comes the time to interact with a phone line, it's 60%, not even 60%. And in the emergency room or in a walk-in clinic, it is only about 50% of the time that they were able to access services in English. And, more often, but relatively often, they have to request being served in English. Okay, during a hospital stay, this is the same thing. About half of them had to be served in French. Okay, now when people were asked why they didn't ask to be served in English, a lot of them answered that, in fact, the first reason was that they didn't want to be a burden for the healthcare system. They didn't want to be a burden for the practitioners, because they noticed that the practitioners were actually doing a lot of efforts and were trying their best, but they didn't want to increase the burden. A lot of them also had a fear of delays, and some of them were too shy to ask Overall, the satisfaction or how good was the service rated by the English users was only 37% about, and it is very low if you compare to the rest of the province where the level of satisfaction is much higher. So definitely in the eastern townships, we have a big gap between the users and the institutions providing healthcare in English. So what are the barriers between the researchers and the community? Because I told you that I was the principal investigator of a project that wants to assess to date what is the situation. So we basically re-evaluated the same things because it is 5 years later, so we want to see what is different. Plus, we had a lot of other questions assessing the outcomes on health. And the barriers we've encountered are of several natures, but one of them was a big misconception of the role of the researcher. I mean by that the population, because they are, I think, a lot of them are a bit angry of the system. They took us to express their frustration, and a lot of them thought that we would offer a mean to access to a physician, or we were a mean to provide them access to English resources. And in fact, they didn't from start understand that we wanted to conduct a research. They hoped that we were rather a solution for them. Also, our tools were not fully adapted to the study of communities. As I said, I come from the world of biology, where you deal with cells or rats or eventually controlled human populations. Here it is a population study that deals with like the entire population. So we had to make sure that we would reach every part of the population, and it has not been so easy. But some solutions that we've come with was to take more time in explaining the project, also work with the community organization, and in that the Townshipers Association has been instrumental in setting up this research. And we also needed to provide help to work with the tools. So we had an online questionnaire and we had a paper questionnaire, and we needed to make sure that we had enough research assistant to help people fill the questionnaire, because it wasn't as easy as we thought to be filled. The barriers between the community and the practitioners, and I will probably have to go faster on that, are parts of our results, and some of my slides you will see are in French because I wrapped up all my slides a bit like, quickly. But you see here the difficulties that are the most frequently reported, and of course for the Anglophones, the language barriers come in second, which we expected. Okay. Now, is the service culturally and linguistically adapted to them? In fact, you will see that we noticed some questions that were very differently answered by Anglophones and Francophones. For example, here people fear to have to talk to their physician in another language, another language meaning French, in fact. So here you see this was significant. Fear of being judged by the physician because of their language. Okay, and also how easy was it to, in fact, if it was easier for them to communicate in their language in which they were most comfortable, was also different for Anglophones and Francophones. How easy was it to receive healthcare in their language was different. How easy was it to obtain an appointment? And how easy was it to obtain an appointment in mental health, okay, with a mental health specialist? All these things were much lower in Anglophone, in the population of Anglophones compared to Francophones. So these are the barriers that happen to be there right now between the community and the healthcare providers. Now, we asked them, how can we improve the system? What would you see as solutions? And English speakers proposed several things, but the training of health professionals in English came first, recruitment of English-speaking professionals, official interpreters, came third, but with a relatively low percentage. Ad hoc interpreters, which are interpreters from the family or people who happen to be there at that time, are very low ranked, okay, meaning that they don't really want to have these people serving as interpreters, probably because of a matter of confidentiality, and when it comes time to talk about your mental health, maybe you don't want your sister or your daughter to know what you experience. Now, we also asked the same thing to the French speakers, and I reported the numbers obtained with the English speakers just besides. The training of health professional came first as well, but the second thing that arrived with a relatively high percentage was the use of ad hoc interpreters. And this is very different, and when we think that all the policies are often made by people who are from the French community, if the French speakers think that the solutions are the ones that are the least acceptable for the English speakers, maybe we face here another problem, okay? Use of official interpreters and other things are a bit less maybe striking, okay? So I'll go faster. So now the barriers between the researchers and the health professionals. I already touched on this a bit earlier and during the lunchtime, I think. The problem for us when we want to evaluate how comfortable are health professionals to interact with English patients, it has been difficult to sample the population of practitioners. Am I done? Okay. And we faced a lot of political and administrative barriers. The barriers didn't come from the practitioners themselves, who are very willing to share their experience, but the problems came from above them, so the administrations mostly and the unions. We had a lot of troubles with the unions. So our solutions were to be creative, revisit our classical patterns. So we've used, in fact, social media, groups like the specialized newspapers to recruit nurses or stuff like that, rather than asking the administration to that they allow us to access their professionals. And also present the project and share the knowledge was instrumental in recruiting our health professionals, but we're not done. We have to go on with that still. So I'll close with this. Okay. And if you have questions, I'll be happy to share.
What is the I've got a couple of questions, but what's the status of your research now? Has it been published? It's going to be published
No.
soon? Okay. Very interesting.
Yeah. So far, in fact, our goal was to recruit 2,000 participants, so 1,000 of French speakers and 1,000 English speakers. However, it's difficult to reach that number. So we've decided to really make a boost in recruitment this last month. So we used the PubliSac, we used a lot of various means in order to recruit more participants, and we closed the project at the end of this month. So the recruitment is closed; it will be closed next week. So we will evaluate the entirety of the data that have been collected, but I had a couple of preliminary data that had been that we had started to analyze already.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to follow up with a more substantive question. I found some of the data you presented, I mean, it was all very interesting, but a couple aspects were fascinating, especially the one about the notion of, okay, how do you improve that access, right? Mm-hmm. And the total disconnect between the notion of hiring more Anglophones or, having more Anglophones in the healthcare system, right, as employees, mm-hmm. and Anglophones were very high in that, Francophones not at all,
no.
Which I would juxtapose that with the difference in some ways between the overall approach that Health Canada and McGill are working through compared to, for example, CNFS and the Francophone system outside of Quebec. Lynn Briette, who's from the CNFS, we had a chat last night, and one of the things that struck her about seeing what's happening here in Quebec is how it's devoted to, in a sense, language of service and lots of really, she saw the value of the work, but her main comment was, outside Quebec, we're trying to get people from our community working in the system. And given that overall Quebec Anglophones are underrepresented in the healthcare system in Quebec, although not in all professions, I think it's important nuance. For example, proportionally speaking, there are more English-speaking doctors than their share of the population. Mm-hmm. But for many, many other professions mm-hmm. Within the healthcare industry, there's sometimes a very serious underrepresentation. So it strikes me that that's like a really interesting dichotomy, and you almost see, I mean, you know, don't want to go too far with the interpretation, but where one community, the one that feels left out, wants to be in, and the community that is well established doesn't want to let the minority in. That's an interesting point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and in fact, I think that probably things may improve with the fact that now we have a nursing program in Champlain College, which will train and, in fact, make new nurses who are speaking English or who have been trained in English. But it is something that we would like to improve, which is the retention of the young English-speaking people in the Eastern Townships, which doesn't happen so often right now. They tend to leave elsewhere because they don't want to spend the rest of their life in the Eastern Townships. So this is an important problem, and it is why we have trouble recruiting people that are English-speaking. And there is also a political aspect of that. Targeting recruitment towards people who are bilingual is very problematic in our region, but probably elsewhere as well. But
Yes, very interesting. I was wondering, maybe I missed it. What was the sample? And it was English and French, right?
English and French, yes. So far, the data that I presented, we had 300 people analyzed with what I presented today.
And
but the whole sample is, so far we reached a bit more than 1,200 so far.
How many?
1,200.
Oh, 1,200. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you presented a subsample.
Yes, it is okay. A subsample, yes. Just because, we extracted data from only people above 50 years old because was slides that were generated for presentation in the Aging Research Center. So this is why.
No, that's fine, because it was not clear to me what...
I didn't write it.
It's okay, no, that's fine. And it was kind of all, you know, English and French first language, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And then the other question was around the perceptions of services and so on. And, you know, when you have 3.3, like it's a mean, it was scales from what, 1 to 5?
Yes, 1 to 5.
Okay,
yes.
And so you presented the differences between the perceptions of Anglophones and Francophones.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
And my last little bit of question was around, you know, the fact that you said that it is more the political level or the institutional level that there are some resistance. You quoted the unions and so on. And I think this is something we have actually found in outside, you know, in among Francophones in minority situations, is that on the ground there's a lot of willingness. However, you have to kind of, you know, follow the rules. And, you know, like, for example, as I mentioned this morning, seniority or the unions, you know, being in the way or kind of not wanting to bother with kind of, you know, being more complicated and so on. Mm-hmm. But was my question was, did you feel, or maybe it was not asked in your survey, about professionals sometimes who are actually bilingual and actually are used as translator and feel that they are doing this above their services, above their duty, their call of duty or their scope of practice, and they are usually not rewarded for it. So I don't know if you actually explored that question at all.
Yeah, in fact, it is part of because I stopped the presentation a bit before the end, but it is part of what I did with the training and retention of health professional project that received funds 2 years ago. So, in fact, yes, people are very willing to collaborate, but we've noticed that we have to approach them outside of the institution because the institutions in our region control very much, you know, our access to their employees. So we can't go there and ask people to participate. We can't even post a little advertisement. They won't accept it. Okay? So we really have to approach them outside of the institution. And I just lost what I wanted to say after that. So far we still have to analyze and compile all the data that we have, but it is something that has come to, in fact, it has been enough to be noticeable just from impression like that, but people, when there is an English-speaking health professional, okay, even if the person is not a native Anglophone, but at least a person who can express him or herself well enough in English to take care of every single patient that comes and is Anglophone, then this person has a burden or a load of work that is much higher than others, okay? And when this person leaves, which happens sometimes, then you have to replace this person. So you have to find another person who is willing to receive training in English, who is willing to be on duty each time an English patient will arrive, and will receive absolutely nothing for that. Okay? So it is probably one of the other problems.